years of football camp, and has been a real blessing to us, a great servant's heart. We have had to restrain him from tackling some people, but they were referees. He's been a great help to us, and we appreciate that very much. And just a real joy for me to be here. Now, I got to tell you, I am an evangelist. I pastored for 20 years, and then I've been total in evangelism about 21 years. And you never want to upset a pastor before you get your love offering. So let me just tell you, church, if you really loved your pastor, you would have bought him a boat before you ever thought about it. And I'll have a list of other things that he needs tonight to share with you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to the next few days. I understand, as Pastor mentioned, that you've been going a lot lately, and many of you are tired. And I was a little worried about, I heard Brother Adam does not want to go to sleep right after the service, and he wants to eat. So please, somebody keep an eye on him that he doesn't sleep during the service this morning. And I don't know if you heard about that little boy on the way to church, and his mother was trying to prepare him for church, and she says, "Now, Billy, it's very important that you be very, very quiet in church. And when we get to church now, you got to be quiet." And she says, "Now, you remember why it's important to be quiet in church, Billy?" And he said, "Yes, because the people are sleeping." So hopefully that won't be the case this morning. Amen. And sure want to encourage you to be back each night of the missions conference. And this is time for the church family to come together and let God do something special in our hearts. And that's really what I prayed for and hungered for, is that the Lord used me to help you. Just to present His Word in a way that would help you to be just sensitive to what the Lord wants. You know, with the matter of missions giving, it's not a matter of pressure from a preacher. It's a matter of pressure from the Holy Spirit that you do what He wants. And if everybody does what the Spirit of God wants, there will be more than a sufficient amount. And so that's our desire. We sure want to be a blessing. And I really feel burdened about the message already for tonight. I sure hope that you will be here for it. But let's this morning open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Please take note of your watch right now and what time it is, and then put it away. Amen. I'll try not to keep you too long. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Wouldn't that be a great thing to have put on your tombstone? "And he pleased God." Man, I'll tell you, if you're saved this morning, there ought to be something burning in your heart that wants to know that you please him. Yeah. Verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This morning we're beginning a missions conference where we practice faith-promised missions. I love a missions conference because it causes us to deal with so many root problems that we deal with in the Christian life. We have to deal with trust issues. We have to deal with the love of money issues. We have to deal with submission issues. We have to deal with selfishness issues. One of the evidences of spiritual decay in the Christian is a lack of living by faith. And so I want to preach about that this morning. Living by faith. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We confess to you, Lord, we're absolutely nothing without thee. And Lord, if I could have the understanding and knowledge of everybody's problems in this room this morning, I wouldn't be able to fix any of them. But Lord, you have the solution to every problem. And so I'm asking thee, please, Holy Spirit of God, would you be in charge? And I pray that you'd be merciful to us this morning, Lord, and would you meet with us and manifest your power here and your presence here in this place. And Lord, maybe there's somebody in this crowd that if they died right now, they're not sure they'd go to heaven. They've never been saved. Would you please draw that heart to come to Jesus this morning? And for many of us, Lord, that have claimed to trust Thee as Savior, would you help us this morning to be honest with Thee, to be humble enough, Lord, to receive Your truth and not just be hearers, but to be doers as well. And would you help us, Lord, that we would allow You to examine us this morning and lay the foundation, Lord, for these next few nights of this missions conference, that this church, Lord, would be obedient to Your will concerning this matter of giving to missions, to seeing souls saved here and across the world. We need You. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to Habakkuk and chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. That's in your Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2. It's one of those minor prophets where the pages of your Bible are still stuck together. Habakkuk chapter 2. And notice verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Right after Nahum. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. And it says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now jump over to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. If I'm going too fast for you, I'm sorry, but Adam's hungry.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Interesting, we won't go on to look at the rest of Romans chapter 1. You might be familiar with it, but it talks about the downfall of man. Interesting, that follows after it talks about the just shall live by faith. If you go to Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." And then back to Hebrews where we were, but in chapter 10, look at verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith." Well, it seems like the Lord mentioned that an awful lot of times. And I believe it's because He knew that Baptists need a lot of repeating. Amen. And so we know that living by faith is an absolute essential for Christian living. And in fact, so much so that the Lord said, "Without it, you can't please me." That only by faith can you please the Lord. Well, if that's so essential in the Christian life, don't you know the devil's going to do everything he can to confuse folks about what it means to live by faith? And there's a mass amount of confusion among Bible believers about what living by faith is. We're talking about a missions conference this week. All this is going to be based on faith, on living by faith. Now, if it's so essential that the Lord said, "Without faith, it's impossible to please me," then don't you think we as a Christian ought to be able to answer the question, are you living by faith? So if somebody was to present that to you this morning, are you living by faith? Would you be able to answer that? I mean, I wonder if we're living by faith, the Lord is pleased, but if we're not living by faith, our Lord is not pleased. It's impossible to please Him without faith. So I want you to consider with me this morning the explanation of faith, the examination of faith, and the expanding of our faith. So consider with me the explanation of our faith. What is faith? Dr. John O. Rice used to define faith this way. He said, faith is simply finding a promise in the Word of God, you doing your part, believing that God will do His part. Amen. That's pretty good. Parents were driving home from church one day. Their little girl was in the vehicle and said, Daddy, I don't understand what the preacher was preaching about this morning. He was talking about faith. He's talking about trusting God. He said, you know, it's just putting all your weight upon, or you're just leaning upon. And she said, I don't understand that, Dad. And he said, well, honey, when we get home, I'll try to teach you. When they got home, he walked over and there was a door that went down into an old cellar under the house, there was just a ladder that went down there. There was no lights on down there, and he climbed down that ladder, and he got to the bottom, and his little girl standing up at the doorway, and he looks up and he says, honey, jump. Daddy will catch you. She said, but Daddy, I can't see anything. I'm scared. He said, honey, jump. Just trust me. Just have faith in what I'm telling you. And she jumped and he caught her and he said, that's what faith is. It's simply taking God at His word. You see, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 gives us a wonderful definition of faith. And he says, first of all, it's a substance. Well, substance is defined by Webster in his 1828 dictionary as something that exists by itself. Something which really is. So faith is something that exists by itself. It really is. And then it says it's an evidence. And Webster defined evidence as that which reveals truth and brings to a conclusion or a conviction. So faith is something that really is. It's not a feeling. It's not a wishful, hopeful thing one day. Faith is something that really is. And it's an evidence. It's based on that which reveals truth and brings us to a conclusion or a conviction. We know how it is in the court system. If the court is run like it's supposed to run, then there must be evidence presented that brings a jury or a judge to a conclusion and a conviction. And for the Christian, faith must contain an evidence that brings us to a conclusion and a conviction. And that blessed evidence is called the Word of God. It is our evidence. You don't have faith without the Bible. You can't have faith without knowing the Bible. You can't have faith without knowing what God says and God expects out of a child of God. It's one of the reasons He says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting one another. It's one of the reasons why we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You see, without you having a personal relationship with His blessed book, mighty hard for you to live by faith and thereby please the Lord. It's got to be based on evidence, the Word of God. It is essential. Faith is that substance that we can see that gives the evidence for the hope of things that we can't see. What is that? Romans 10:17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. That's why the devil's so messed with the Bible. From the time that in the Garden of Eden, when he said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said?" That's why there's all so many translations. You can go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. To which translation should I go? And we know that God promised us a book that was inerrant. Why? Because he wants us to have the evidence. He wants us to live by faith. And he wants us to be able to please him. And so thank God he preserved this old King James Bible that doesn't have one mistake and doesn't need to be corrected about anything. It's our evidence. See, faith always makes scriptural sense. But it doesn't always make human sense. You need to understand that as a Christian. You tell somebody about tithing that doesn't have spiritual sense, they're thinking that's ridiculous. That preacher's just getting a whole bunch of money so he can go buy a boat. That's going to be the theme of the week now, preacher. Yeah. It doesn't always... Look at my budget. How can I tithe? Well, it may not make human sense to you, but when you read the Word of God, it makes spiritual and scriptural sense to you. You see, faith has got to be based on the Bible. If God says it, you don't have to humanly figure it out. You just trust Him. You just exercise faith and say, okay, God says it. God's not a liar. He's not going to be bound to man. So if He says it, then I need to do it. Faith is not positive thinking. You know, it doesn't matter how much you try to convince yourself this morning that Volkswagen you drove in the car lot's gonna, or in the parking lot's gonna end up a Mercedes by the time you get out of church. You can think positive about that all you want to. It's not gonna happen. Amen. I tried it. It's not positive thinking. That's what the charismatic teach. If you just convince yourself it's gonna happen. No. That's not true. No, it's gotta be based on God's promise. If God promised that, if it said in the Word of God, thou shalt have a Mercedes if you want it bad enough, then it'd happen. But it's got to be based on Scripture. A lot of misconceptions about what faith is. It's not positive thinking. My wife and I were over at some family members and a brother-in-law, he's older and it's always been a little hard to talk to about spiritual things. He's kind of one of those that's got most everything in the world figured out, you know, and we got talking and he's up in years and he told my wife, he said, well, you know, I'm going to live to be 150. She said, you're not going to live to be 150. He said, oh yeah, you know, as long as I keep believing it, I'm going to live to be 150. My wife in her loving, compassionate way said, Claude, that's stupid. And it is stupid. You know, but he's thinking because he heard somebody say that if you believe it, it'll happen. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not some unidentified feeling. I'm just waiting. If God, you know, God gives me this feeling. I've heard so many people say through the years, well, God told me this and God told me that. And I always say, okay, where in the Scripture did God tell you that? You know, if it's not backed up in the Bible, then I'm sorry, you don't have much to stand on. Right. Faith is not some unidentified feeling. I have a dear friend whom I pray for daily, and he gets more people in church than anybody I personally know. Loves the Lord, but he had a wife walk out on him. For years, he moved to where she moved to, and they dated, they would go out a couple times a week together, they would talk almost every day, he was doing all that he could to win her back, he was paying for her bills and her needs, and he was doing everything he could to try to win her back, and she kept telling him, well, the Lord hasn't told me yet to get married again. Well, yeah, he has. I'll show it to you in the book. But she's waiting for some weird feeling to come over her. There's a lot of things, folks, you don't have to pray about that God already told us to do. We just do by faith. And living by faith pleases God. And that is, we just find what God says and obey it. I'm praying about being baptized, preacher. You don't have to pray about that. God told you to. Once you get saved, He told you to get baptized. towards join a good church and get serving the Lord faithfully. Somewhere in there it says buy your pastor a boat. I'm not sure where that's at, but book a booth maybe. I don't know. Consider with me the examination of faith. Look at again at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, for the Christian, faith is an absolute requirement. You can't please God if not living by faith. You must believe that He is. That is, you've got to understand who God, who the Bible says God is. You got to believe that He is who the Bible says He is. And that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That He always has your best interest at heart. You see, it's required to please God. And let me say, as I mentioned in Sunday school, control freaks make very poor Christians. Very poor Christians. Because God's not interested in you being in control. He's interested in being in control. Somebody up changes up things in your life and you can't handle it. You're going to have to learn how to realize that according to the Word of God, He's a sovereign God and He makes no mistakes and He doesn't allow anything into the life of one of His children without His permission, so I can trust Him. I don't have to figure it all out. My mother's favorite verses were Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. You know why us folks get so nervous and are always tied up more just a wreck and we got to go to the doctor and get another pill and we just don't know how to deal with things? Because we're trying to control life. And what happens, we're trying to figure it all out. But He said, don't lean under your own understanding. You try to lean under your own understanding, you're going to be a miserable Christian. But when you learn to trust Him, to believe what the Bible says about Him is true, and you can just relax, you can put your faith in Him, you can lean on Him. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 23. When He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. And His disciples came and woke Him and said, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? I mean, the waves are crashing over the boat. He's sleeping. Lord, wake up! And He gets up, and you know what He does before He rebukes the wind and the seas? He rebuked them. Why are you so fearful? I've been teaching you all day long. Now's your opportunity to take what I've taught you and put it to practice. You see, their problem was they didn't know Him well. And they lived in a panic. Remember when the storm came and the Lord walked on the water, called Peter, and Peter got out of the boat and he walking just fine until he looked at his circumstances and he began to sink. And he said, why you have such little faith? Peter, why couldn't you just keep your eyes on me? Where's your faith? In Luke chapter 17. Look there with me real quick. I love this passage. There's a lot of things I find humorous. Luke 17. Verse 3. He said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, that's pretty tough. I mean, somebody does you wrong, and you confront them about it. They say, I'm sorry. You forgive them. Okay, well, you know, some of us can deal with that. But if he does seven times in the same day, and every time he says, well, I'm sorry again. Forgive him again. And I love what the disciples said in verse 5. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Hey, really, Lord? Seven times a day the idiot does the same thing to me and I'm supposed to forgive him again? Yeah, that's what I said. Lord, increase our faith. You see, control freaks don't make good Christians. We're to go to the Word of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And we're obedient about what God wants us to do. Elijah that we look at is that great prophet that confronted those prophets of Baal and prayed down fire from heaven. Man, we look at that as a man, what a great man of God. Do you know that wasn't Elijah's idea? He later on in the next few verses, he said, Lord, I only did what I did at your word. That was God's idea. Elijah just had the faith to trust. If God said it, we're gonna go. Everything in the Word of God, you'll find out that is done by faith was done by His Word. Peter, remember when Peter was out fishing, he caught nothing and he comes back in and the Lord said to go back out there, cast your net on this other side here. Peter said, well, we've already tried that, Lord. And He said, just go cast your net over there. He said, well, we tried it, but nevertheless, at thy word. See, faith is based on evidence. The Word of God. So I'm asking you this morning, what do you know in the Word of God that you're not doing? If it's only possible to please Him by faith, what is it that you know God wants you to do and you've just said, no, I'm not going there? Lord, you know, I don't mind if you have the preacher talk about loving your mother, that's okay, but don't have him start preaching on tithing. I'm not going there. The preacher can show me from the Bible how that ought to be good to my neighbor, but hey, don't let him start telling me how to dress. I'm not going there. What is it that you won't trust God about? This whole week is going to be about faith. How are you going to determine the will of God for your giving to missions? If you're not willing to obey Him what He's already showed you. You see, He said, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. Go to Malachi with me real quick. Chapter 3. Verse 7 says, even from the days of your fathers you've gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Like, they're just so innocent. Lord, what are you talking about? Will a man rob God? Yet ye've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he put the pedal to the metal and said, in tithes and offerings. Ye accursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour ye out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Lord said, prove me. Take me at my word. Well, Lord, you know, we wouldn't rob you. Oh, He said, if you're not tithing, you're robbing me. Those tithes already belong to Him. Well, that's Old Testament law. Noah was far before the Old Testament law was given. The book of Leviticus said the tithes are the Lord's. That's just the beginning place for the Christian. Those already belong to Him. To not give that to Him, you're robbing Him. And it's the only place in the Bible He said, prove it. Prove me. Go ahead and take them my word. I'll show you. But He said in tithes and offerings. See, tithes are what we owe already. The offerings are where we prove our love to Him. What we give above and beyond what's already His is our opportunity to show our love to Him. That's where giving by faith comes. All right, Lord, we can trust You. Show us what You want. Bible says, he that giveth to the poor, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, lendeth unto the Lord. What is the poor? Well, you look up the definition of the poor, it's those who have need. He that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he shall surely repay him again. I've based down that promise many times in my life. Luke says that if you give, it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, overflowing, shall men give unto your bosom. Now, do we believe the Word of God? Faith is believing who God is and that He will always act consistent with His character. Let me move on. Preacher, for some reason somebody put a clock up here. The expanding of our faith. How do you increase your faith? How do you do that? You know, often the Lord rebuked with, "Oh, ye of little faith." How do you grow that faith? Go to Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Look at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So he said, here's two groups. They both heard the same sermon. One of them got profit out of them, the other one didn't. What made the difference? Because one of them mixed faith. One of them said, okay, I see it. I'm going to act on it. I'm going to put it to practice. You see, you can know all the Bible answers to all the Sunday school questions and die and go to hell one day if you've never mixed it with faith in your heart. That's where repentance takes place. That's where when repentance takes place, moves it from your head to your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, not his head. Right. This matter of being saved means that there has to come a time when you, by your heart, say, "Dear God, I have sinned against you and I'm guilty. And I deserve hell. And I'm coming to you believing that Jesus died for me, was buried, rose again. And I'm asking you because you told me to come and that you would forgive me if I'd come. And I'm coming to ask you, Lord, forgive me. Save me." By faith, based on the Scripture, based on the Word of God, by faith, you have to mix with faith. Remember Thomas? We call him, what is it? Doubting Thomas. Wouldn't you hate to have that tag? Yeah. Doubting Thomas. Because after the Lord's resurrection, when Thomas wasn't there, when the church met, Thomas missed out, and the Lord appeared unto them, and then they were telling everybody, "Man, we saw him. We saw the wounds in his hand and in his side. We saw him. He came and he talked with us. He's risen." And Thomas said, "Yeah, well, I'm not going to believe it till I see it." He was one of those controlling farmers, I think. And so the next time we find, it's interesting to me, the Lord waited 8 days. He could have appeared to Thomas anywhere. But he waited 8 days till his people had gathered together again and he shows up. And he'd never said, "Thomas, do you believe?" He already knew. He just walked up and he said, "Thomas, reach hither thy fingers and thrust it into my hands. Reach hither your hand and thrust it to my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Now doubting Thomas, suddenly the next posture we find him in, he's on his face and he cries out, "My Lord and my God." Faith increased. Why was that? Because he simply obeyed what the Lord told him to do. You want to increase your faith? Maybe some of us need to come to an altar this morning and say, "Lord, I know from the Scripture I'm supposed to be a soul winner, but I never go out soul winning." Say, "But I have a hard time talking to people." Then you go by faith.
That's right.
Say, "Okay, Lord, you told me to go. It's not a matter of how I can figure out how well this is going to turn out. I'm going to just go because you told me to go."
Right.
See, I get nervous. So do I. Been at it a long time. Still get nervous. But I don't go because I think I'm so wonderful at it. I go because the Lord tells me I need to go. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I do have a hard burden. I don't want people to go to hell.
Right.
matter of giving, when the Lord puts on your heart and shows you what you need to do in the matter of giving to missions. It's a matter of saying, wait, man, I don't know, Lord, it seems a little scary, but listen, God has been awfully good to my wife and I in evangelism, and He's taken care of us, but we've never had a savings account. And I'm not against that at all. And other guys that have them, God bless them, I'm for it. Maybe if I'd have been smarter in dealing with things, it would have been different. I don't know. But when God put on our hearts what we're to do in our missions giving to our local church in Center Texas, I couldn't look at the budget and figure it out. But I just knew in my heart, my wife knew in her heart, God, this is our heart's burden. This is what we know You're pressing our heart about. We want to do it, Lord, and we'll trust You. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Can I ask you this morning, what is it right now you know you ought to be doing, you're not doing? You don't need another revival sermon. You know if you stood before the Lord right now as a Christian that you ought to be doing that you're not doing. Or maybe things you know you shouldn't be doing and you keep on doing. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If the trumpet sounded and we go and we stood before our wonderful Savior, would He be pleased with you? Are you living by faith? Are you back when the doors are open to church? Do you do the basics of the Christian life? Do you have a consistent prayer life and consistent Bible study and the things you already know? It makes a very powerful statement. You can't live the Christian life and please Him without faith. It is essential. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. I pray, Lord, that You would help us with the things we've looked at this morning. Spirit of God, You'd do something in our hearts to give us some growth and victory, Lord, that would honor and please You. As we consider this week, Lord, and pray about Your will in the matter of giving to missions, that we would trust who You are and Your promises, Lord, in response to our giving. And Lord, maybe there's many other things, maybe things I never even mentioned in the message this morning, but Your Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of Your people about. Would You help us to be humble enough to respond and be honest with Thee this morning? And dear God, if there's somebody here, and the truth is, if they died this very moment, they could not say that they're sure they'd go to heaven. Lord, would You draw their hearts to come, that we could show them from the precious Word of God, based on the Bible, how they could put their faith and trust in Thee and be saved this morning and born into Your family and leave here knowing that they'd spend an eternity with Thee. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you this morning, how many would say, Brother Booth, thank God I know I'm saved. I remember where I was when the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I knew I was a sinner deserving of hell. And somebody showed me from the Bible how I could put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and He'd forgive me and save me. And I was born again that day. Brother Booth, if I died right this minute, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. If that's your honest testimony, would you raise your hand? Just raise it up and put it down and be honest. Thank you. And I want to ask you, how many would say, Brother Booth, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I needed that reminder this morning. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Some things I know right now need to be different. Things I need to be doing that I'm not doing. Things that I need to stop doing, I keep on doing. And the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I'm afraid if I stood before Him, He's not very pleased. Because I'm not living on the things I already know God wants me to be doing or not doing. And somewhere during the message as a Christian, the Holy Spirit dealt with me. Some things I need to get settled with the Lord. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up, Christians? God spoke to your heart this morning. God bless you. Thank God for your tender hearts. Many hands. God bless you. Maybe some of us this morning ought to just come to the altar and say, Lord, I haven't even really prayed about this matter of what You want in this matter of giving to missions. But Lord, I want You to show me this week what You want, Lord. I don't want to be the controlling farmer. I don't want to be that gambling farmer. I want to be, Lord, that trusting farmer that you show me, and I'll trust you. We'll move forward by faith. Maybe there's somebody here who'd say, to be honest with you, Brother Booth, if I died right this minute, I can't tell you that I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could know for sure that I was saved, forgiven, on my way to heaven, I'd like to know that for sure. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just put it up and put it down. I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you if you'd let me. Please stand with me for prayer. After I pray, the music will play. God dealt with your heart this morning. Let's not hesitate. Let's respond to what He spoke to our hearts about and find a place at the altar this morning. Our Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Bless now, I pray, the invitation. Seal decisions that will really make a difference for Thee, Lord. Give victories, I pray. And should there be somebody that's not saved that needs to be saved, nobody raised their hand, Lord, but if there's somebody like that, would You give them the courage to come and let Pastor know that they want to be saved and know it for sure? Please do Your work now, we pray in Jesus' name. As the music plays, God spoke to your heart. You need to come. Why don't you come right now, would you? God dealing with your hearts. You raised your hand. I prayed for you. I can't do anything more than that. Now's your opportunity.